Good evening. Welcome to our evening service. It's great to see so many people here. If you're visiting with us, then you're doubly welcome. I see Ken's brother and his wife is in, all the way from Holland. So welcome, and we hope you're blessed with us tonight. Welcome to Ford as well. It's good to see you in our service. We look forward to hearing from you later on. And it's good to have our pastor back with us in the pulpit. Just a few announcements, standard announcements for the coming week. Tuesday night is our prayer meeting, 7:30, so please come along to that. Wednesday morning at 11 a.m. is our Little Lambs. Wednesday night at 7:30, I've got a note here, is our ladies' fellowship. So there's plenty of room, ladies, for that. Champions League's on, so men don't want to be affected by that. But Peter and Rachel, who are serving with the Asia Pacific, are coming to that. So you're more than welcome. Please come along to that. You'll get a good cup of tea as well. And then Thursday night starts our boys ministry, the boys club. So Thursday night 6:15. Please be praying for that. This is the first meeting of that. We know and want the Lord to bless that ministry as it starts. And these are all the announcements. Thank you. Oh no, wrong. There's always something. This I mentioned these this morning. So bookmarks from the youth club. They're out in the hall there. You take one as you leave. They have a name of a young person on the back, just their first name, okay. But if you feel like you can pray for the youth of our youth club here, then please take one of these, pop it in your Bible, pray for the particular person, and we'll hopefully see the Lord move, and we'll see souls won. Thank you.
Good evening, everyone. It's really good to see you all in church and to see church so well filled. And for those of you who are joining us online, you're very welcome with us too. We hope you have had a good day, and it's great to be in the Lord's house and to be able to sing praise to God. And we do have a few hymns and songs to sing, but just before we do that, let's pray and let's commit our time to God. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you that we're able to be here and to join together like this as part of your body, the church. Lord, we thank you for the freedom that we have to come here, Lord. As we look across our world tonight, Lord, we don't take that for granted. We thank you that we have somewhere like this that we can come in peace, Lord, and come and close ourselves in and meet with you. And Lord, we pray that we would do that tonight, Lord. It would be so easy for us to come here and not truly worship you tonight, Lord. We pray that we wouldn't just go through the routine of a service, but Lord, we pray that we would meet with you. And as we sing now, Lord, we pray that we would worship you from our hearts, and we pray that that would be acceptable in your sight, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Our first song is Blessed Be Your Name. This is a fairly lively song, so we're going to get you to stand as we worship God together. Blessed be your name. Stand.
Desert place, you are
your seats.
That was great singing. Thank you very much. And it is great to be in church tonight to be able to praise God. And the next one that we're going to sing is a golden oldie. It's one of my favourites, actually, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. And I love in the second verse, it says, Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold. He to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. And this morning we're hearing from Philip about how Jesus is a good shepherd and he protects his sheep. So you can just think of the words. We'll let you remain seated this time because it's quite long. But you have to sing well. So let's just sing this together. Stage is The Lord is My Salvation. We tried this a couple of weeks ago. We thought it was a new one, but I know many of you knew it and you sang it really well. So before you forget, we're trying it again. And we're going to get you to stand and sing this one. And then after we do that, Carter's going to come and he's going to read passages of scripture to us. Thank you.
Thank you. Reading from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 7 to 10. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasures which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him.
Many thanks to Carter for reading scriptures done so well and so manly. Carter, thank you so much, and for all those of you who have been helping us out in the various aspects of the services, we really appreciate it. Thanks to Andrew last week as he spoke on Jochebed, I was listening in, and also to Aaron as he spoke about the indwelling spirit, and I've already listened to both messages and you've been truly blessed. So thank you to all of those who have been filling in over the past few days. It's good to know that the work goes on regardless, and thank you for praying for us as we've taken a bit of a break there in recent days. Good to see you all. It's good to have Ford with us. Ford is the remaining son, remaining child of four sons, and he'll be telling his story shortly. And if you've heard of the book Some Party in Heaven, if you've read it, hands up those of you who read that book. Yeah, I mentioned this morning I was surprised that so few have heard of it, but I remember in their early days as a Christian reading the book of Tragedy That Strikes a Home. And so Ford will be talking something around that area. So if you're needing the Lord's touch regarding recovering from loss of loved ones, then I'm sure you'll be truly blessed and ministered to this evening. We want to bow together in prayer before we go any further. Father, we want to thank you for the opportunity of gathering together to worship God. Who is like the Lord our God? There is none like thee. Who is like thee among the gods? Glorious in holiness, faithful in praises, doing wonders. You are a wonder-working God who's in absolute control of every circumstance and situation. Nothing happens outside of your will, and nothing happens outside of your notice. We thank you, Lord, that even the very hairs on our head are numbered, and you know all about us. What a glorious God who is omnipotent in his knowledge and his presence and power, who's omniscient in everything he knows. He's unchanging and he never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. What a comfort that brings us. What joy it springs up within our hearts. God knew every tear that fell from our eyes. He knows every broken and troubled heart. He knows every circumstance and situation. He knows what's ahead of us, what's behind us, and what's going on within us even today. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Lord, there are many who need your touch. Lord, speaking with Jimmy Coleman, who's desperately low, depressed this evening. Lord, we pray that you'll minister to Jimmy today. Lord, this dear saint of God, will you draw near to him? For Evelyn Bell, as she recovers from recent surgery, Adrian Bennington and William Smith, who are both facing, Lord, these awful diseases that seem to have no interest in abating. Lord, we pray for the loved ones and families and those surrounding them. And as was mentioned this morning, Lord, we pray for the trouble in Ukraine, that God will stem the tide and, God, that you will move in. But we ask for your blessing upon our gathering this evening. We ask, Lord, for your ministry, your Holy Spirit to minister amongst us. May we know nothing other than the presence of God speaking through Ford as he testifies and tells of the Lord's grace in his life. Help him, Lord, to speak as a dying man to dying men. May he make those things that are relevant and real and important. May the Holy Spirit take them and wing them home to all of our hearts. May we know nothing other than God's speaking voice. Remember, Lord, the many needs, but we look and trust them each one to you. Pray your blessing upon us now as we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you for it. May God bless you as you come and minister to us.
Hello, everybody. It's lovely to see you all out in the Lord's house on a Sunday evening. I'm not from your neck of the woods. I'm from a little village called Donnacloney, which is about 45 minutes from here. It's just on the outs, in between sort of Dromore and Lurgan, if you know where that is. But just before I start, if we could just briefly pray. And just as I pray for the Lord to help me, I'm also mindful that I don't know this congregation. But you know, yous all know each other, and yous all each know each other well, and you know each other's needs better than I do. So simply, while our heads are bowed, and as I ask for help, if you would just pray for somebody here, maybe in the pew in front of you, or behind you, or across from you, that you know perhaps that this message is for. My Lord and my God, I thank you, Lord, for bringing me here this evening. I pray, Lord, that you'll help me to speak this evening, and to speak well. Lord, so that your name might be lifted up and your name glorified. Amen. If you have a Bible with you, I just have one verse, a couple of verses I'd like to read to you. I'll not keep you too long on that. Isaiah 43. Isaiah chapter 43. And it's the verses 1 and 2 I want to read from. But I'm going to break into the first verse, about midway through the first verse, where it says, O Israel. But you know, God's a personal God, and he speaks to us all individually and all differently. But you can put your own name in there in place of Israel. And I'm going to put my name in there in place of it. O Ford, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I'll be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. And that's all. Thank you very much. My name is Ford Arnold. I was born on the 29th of April, 1985. I'm a few weeks ahead before my 37th birthday, in case anybody wants to send me a card or anything. But I was born on 29th of April 1985, and my full name is Hartford Clark Arnold. I was given the name Hartford, a bit unusual, it's a family name. I was called it after my dad, also after my grandfather, and also after my great-grandfather. So you could say I'm in fourth in line, although I don't know what I'm in line to. But I'm fourth in a line anyway. I seem to have broken tradition because I don't have a son called Hartford, at least not to date. But we'll see whether that comes through or not. But I was born, I was the second son born to my mum and dad. I had an older brother, Thomas, who was born the year before me in 1984. But Thomas had was handicapped. Thomas had a condition, a bit like cerebral palsy, where simply a small part of the back of Thomas's brain wasn't fully formed. And as a result of that, Thomas didn't have the ability to walk or talk, or to sit up by himself, or to really eat solid food on his own. He really had to be watched carefully with that. But the doctors had assured my parents, my mum and dad, that you know, this was a one in a million, and this wouldn't happen again. So whenever I was born, I was whisked away, and I was checked for them to come back and say that all was okay with me. And that was that. I was brought home. The following year, my younger brother Wensley was born. Another unusual name, another family name, but it was only a few hours after Wensley was born that they come and told my parents that Wensley too, like his older brother Thomas, had the same condition, that Wensley too was mentally and physically handicapped. But you know, the two boys had this disability, but I didn't know any different. They were my brothers and they were perfect to me, and that's just how I thought of it. You know, I didn't know any better. But you know, the boys with their condition, they were very prone to chest infections, and simply because they couldn't move about like me or you can, and if they got any wee bit of a cough or a cold at all, it settled on their chest. But this was routine now, and the boys would have spent a day or two in Craigavon Hospital, and they would have been in the oxygen tent and got better and then come home. But November 1989, Thomas was particularly low, and he went into hospital for a few days, only for the doctors then to come back and say that the chest infection had developed further and Thomas now had pneumonia. Well, the pneumonia, Thomas just didn't have the strength to fight it off, And Thomas very quickly succumbed, and he went home to be with the Lord only a few weeks before his sixth birthday. Now, Craigavon Area Hospital, the nurses there were very kind to my parents. They reached out to Mum and Dad. They knew Mum and Dad well, with Mum and Dad coming back and forward with the two boys, and they offered to look after my younger brother Wensley while my Mum and Dad were making arrangements for Thomas's funeral. And it was after Thomas's funeral that Mum and Dad went to visit Wensley with perhaps the idea to bring him home. But the doctor had come with the news that Wensley too wasn't well, and Wensley too now had developed pneumonia. And so it was to be that 9 days after Thomas, that Wensley too went home to be with the Lord. He was only not even 4 years of age. Now, as a father now of three children myself, I can't even imagine what that was like to lose a child, never mind losing two in the space of 9 days. But you know, grief, the blackness of grief, it's a bit like the night sky. The blacker the sky, the brighter the diamonds are of the stars that's in it. And so it was at that time, because the Lord gave us and our Arnold family diamonds of blessing. For it was through that tragedy that it spoke to my dad, and my dad got saved. My mum, who was a backslider at the time, she too come back to the Lord. And how precious that was. I was only 4 and a half at the time, but I knew there was a change in our house. Now we were going to church. We were going to Lurgan Free Presbyterian Church, and we were under the word of the gospel of the Reverend Crane. And you know, from a very young age, I knew my need of a saviour. And so it was at the age of 6, I can remember it clearly, I got down in the side of my bed and I asked the Lord Jesus into my heart. And I come into our kitchen at home and I told Mum, and she was delighted. But you know, it was easy for me whenever I was a youngster to defend my faith in our wee country school in Donnacloney, only 150 pupils in it. But then as I got on into my teens, and now I was at secondary school at Bombridge Academy, that had 10 times that now, there was 1,500 in the big school, and it was a lot more difficult for me to defend my faith. And you know, to my shame, I'd have to say that in my late teens, I drifted away from God, and I wanted to fit in with the crowd and fit in with the lads, the more senior lads that played rugby. And you know, I drifted away from God, and I replaced the youth fellowship and the youth meetings on Friday night, well, I replaced it with the coach nightclub in Bambridge. But you know, I suppose the way I looked at it was, I just thought that I was a black sheep of the family, and there'd be time for God later on. But you'll notice that I still thought I was a sheep. But you know, I wasn't a sheep, I was a wolf in sheep's clothing. Because you see, I was being a wolf during the week and perhaps on Saturday night, but then I was putting on the sheep's clothing for Sunday morning, going out to church with Mum and Dad. But you know, I always just thought, right, I'll put it off. There'll be time for God later on for it. And sure, you know, you're having fun now, and sure, what harm are you doing? You're not breaking any laws of the land at the end of the day. And you know, there'll be time for God later on. And that's how I reasoned it with myself. I suppose I would have said to myself, you know, there'll be time whenever you're an old fella and you're married, and perhaps whenever you're older and you've got children, and you know, you'll have time for it then. But you know, as I got on through my 20s, I was now passing milestones that at previous, whenever I was in my teens, I was saying that I would have come back to God. But it just doesn't work like that. It's not in your own plan making. I had now met my future wife, and me and Nikki, we were just like any young couple, making plans to get engaged and get married and get a home and one day have a family. And so it was now. We were then married in 2011. We welcomed our first son, Thomas, in 2013. And then later on, our second son, Daniel, in 2015. But you know, the Lord was working on me. And it was two things, really. One, it was just a chance meeting with a friend of mine who I hadn't seen in a long time. And out of the blue, this friend brought up the topic of God. Now, this wasn't usual, because this friend had never spoken to me about God before. But he said to me that day, he said, "Ford, you know, I wouldn't perhaps go as far as to say that I'm an atheist now, but I'm pretty close to it." And this really shocked me. See, I just thought that me and my friends, all believed in God, but we're just bad Christians. We're backslidden in a way. But for him to tell me that he didn't believe in God, now it really, really got to me, actually. Although I didn't let on to him. But the following day, I went online. I didn't like losing an argument with him. And I went online and I bought a book, and it was simply called I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist. It's a very interesting book, although it's quite hard reading, but I found it very interesting, and it really points out, I suppose almost from a scientific point of view, how there's rationale for having a belief in God and defending the Christian faith. You know, but more important than that was a personal conviction that was running alongside this. And what really spoke to me personally was actually my two sons. Thomas now wasn't a baby anymore, he was a toddler. And how he was up and about and copying all the things that I would do and copying the things that I would say. You know, and it was really the thought that come to me forward, it might be okay for you. You might think that you were saved whenever you were six. And you might, if the Lord come back tonight, you just might scrape it through by the skin of your teeth into heaven. But Ford, what about your boys? If you don't live your life before your two sons, you know, what's going to see them saved? And this wasn't easy for me to question away. You know, for everything else that somebody might have pointed out to me about maybe having a drink or maybe having a smoke or doing something perhaps that I shouldn't be doing. You know, I could have twisted it my way out of it. I could have wriggled out of it and I could have found a way that suited me to argue my point. But for this one, I couldn't wriggle out of this. And the Lord really, really convicted me of it. And I put in an awful 2015 with it. And so it was on the 1st of January, 2016. New Year's Day is a look back on the year that's passed, a day of reflection perhaps, and a day to look ahead to the year coming in. And I knew that day that I didn't want to put in a year in 2016 like I had in 2015. So I just simply asked the Lord Jesus back into my life that day. And you know, there was nothing magical change for me, but you know, I knew it was different. I had a conviction now. And now I was reading God's word again, and how now it was just coming to life before me, almost like it was just solely written for me, how God was speaking to me through it. And you know, the things of this world that I would have dabbled in and would have enjoyed, the Lord just took the taste for them away. The enjoyment just went from them, and how they then just dwindled away and they dropped off. You know, but I'd love to be able to say that was when I'm finished and I could sit down now, but you know, the Lord, there was trials ahead for me. Later that same year, my granda, also called Hartford, but also given Ford for short, like me, he died on Boxing Day 2016. And it was a big loss for me. My grandfather was a big part of my life growing up, because I were brought up on my granda's farm in Donnacloney, and big loss. Then further on in 2019, my Granda Ford's wife, my Granny Jean, she passed away at Easter time. You know, and it was a big loss for me, but you know, there's a lot to be thankful for, because I know the two of them were saved, and I knew that someday I'd meet them again. And a lot to be thankful for. But you know, my grandparents were very good to me in their life, but they're also very good to me in their death, for they left me their home and also the family farm. And so it was in 2020, late in 2019, in the beginning of 2020, that me and my wife, we were renovating the farmhouse on the farm for us to move into it in Easter 2020. And we started that year with so much hope and so much to look forward to, and how much excitement. And there was a lot of excitement too in my younger brother, Matthew. Matthew's family. Matthew, who was born, he's 10 years younger than me. Matthew was born in 95. Matthew was married then to his wife Kira in 2018. And Matthew and Kira were expecting their first child due in March 2020. So it was then that my niece, Eve, was born on the 14th of March. She's just turned two there a couple of weeks back. And how precious that was, and how brilliant that was. But you know, I felt sorry for the two of them because COVID had come just at that point in time, and how with lockdown they couldn't show off little Eve, or they couldn't have people round to visit. But Matthew and Kira and little Eve, they moved in with my parents only a couple of miles away, so that they could all isolate together. Matthew was off work for paternity leave, and how precious that was that Mum and Dad got that time with Matthew at home again and got to see him, how he was as a father. But you know, Matthew then was due to come back to work. Our family business is a food business, and we were open right throughout the pandemic. Matthew was classed as an essential worker, so Matthew come back to work on the 6th of April 2020, and I really didn't get much time with him that day. But the following day, Tuesday the 7th of April, me and Matthew worked together that afternoon. And so it was that afternoon, as everybody left, me and Matthew was only two remaining. I said to Matthew, would you mind locking up for me? And he said, no problem. And I shouted cheerio to him, I'd see him in the morning, and off I left. But you know, I was only home 10 minutes, and I had my tea was on the table as soon as I got home, and I got a phone call, and it was from Matthew's neighbour. And Matthew's neighbour had simply said that the police were at Matthew's house. Now, I didn't need to hear any more. I just immediately jumped up and hopped into my van, and I drove the mile into the village, and I met the police car coming out. The police were there, but they had been knocking Matthew's door, but they didn't know that Matthew and Kira were isolating with my parents a few miles away. And I asked the police officers, are you looking for Matthew? And I always remember they simply said, they didn't say, yes, we are, or no, we're not. They just simply said, who are you? And just as I said, I'm his brother, just for the briefest of seconds, I could see the lady police officer in the passenger seat. She lost her composure. And then it was then that I knew that something bad had happened. But the police have still have a job to do, and they simply sat me down in the back of their police car in Donnacloney, and they simply told me that Matthew had been involved in a two-vehicle collision on the outskirts of Dromore, and that Matthew had been pronounced dead at the scene. Now, this was something I'd never expected to hear, certainly not in my lifetime. You know, you get used to things, perhaps, you know, it was difficult enough losing my grandparents, but you sort of make your peace with that because they were old, and you know, and sometime, I suppose, I just always thought that way down the road that me and Matthew would share the burden of losing my parents together. But for Matthew to have been taken before me, Matthew was 10 years younger than me. He was only 24. And his wee daughter was only 3 weeks old. It just didn't make any sense. You know, and it was, again, just thrown into the blackness of grief. But you know, just sometimes how history can repeat itself, just like it was in 1989 when my other two brothers went home to be with the Lord, so it was Matthew's home calling. For Matthew was saved, and I had to be so thankful and blessed with that. Just in the blackness of grief again, as black as it was, the Lord gave us diamonds of blessing. In the days after Matthew's passing, we've had 9 members of our family come to know the Lord, both in our Arnold family, but also in Matthew's wife Kira's family, the Beatty family. And how precious that is. You know, I've put in a lot of difficult days from then to now. Another 4 days, it's going to be the second anniversary of it. And, you know, it just seems still so raw. But, you know, the Lord has been good. And I can honestly say that. What's got me through it is prayer and reading God's word. But, you know, I'm not going to stand up here and say I'm whiter than white. There's many days whenever I didn't open my Bible because I just didn't want to hear it. I couldn't understand why the Lord would do this to us, to our family again. But, you know, the worst days that I put in were the days that I didn't, at some point in the day, be on my knees praying to him, or at some point have his word open, because there's power in it. That's the power that the Lord's word has, and the comfort comes. But you know, I'm just going to simply share one thing with you, and it was simply, you know, there's been many things that the Lord has brought me before me in this past 2 years, should it be in an email or a text message or a phone call or even a letter from a friend or somebody that I didn't know from far away who has reached out and has blessed. It's been a real blessing. But I'm just simply going to share one of them with you, and that was simply on my birthday. And that was my birthday in 2020, 28th of April. I was back at work. It was only a few weeks after Matthew's accident, but I was back at work. It's good to be back at work, to be busy and to keep your mind occupied. But you know, that morning, I come into work and I sat down. I start my day the same way every day. I start with a cup of black coffee. It's the only way it gets me started. But that morning, I sat down at the table, the same table that I last seen Matthew sitting at whenever I said cheerio to him. And I sat down at the wee table, and there's only four seats at it. I was sitting in one of them, and I looked at the three seats that was round me, and I just immediately thought of my three brothers that I missed. And I couldn't sit at the table anymore. I got up from the table and I went over, and my mum has a little glass case on the table on the office desk, and it has wee verses in it of God's promises. And I'm just going to share one with you. That morning, I just simply really cried out unto God, and I was really brokenhearted. And you know, I said, I'm going to take the first verse that comes out of this box, Lord, and I pray, Lord, that you'll speak to me. And this is the verse that here. It was Psalm 34 and the verse 22. And it just simply says, the Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. You know, and there was just so much joy in that. You know, if you'd given me £1 million that morning, I couldn't have been any more happy. It was the best birthday present I could have got. But you know, it only meant so much because it was coming from God's word. You know, I could have turned up a meaningful couple of lines from a nursery rhyme, but it wouldn't have had the same power. It's because this is God's word. And that's how precious it was he was speaking to me that day. And how he reminded me that Matthew wasn't dead. Matthew was more alive than he has ever been in his life. Matthew had been redeemed. You know, because of the blood that the Lord Jesus Christ shed for Matthew. Shed for me and shed for you as well. You know, and I just would simply, as I close, I simply just want to thank you for listening to me. But you know, if you're going through heartache, I just simply would say to you, bring it to the cross. The Lord God knows all about it, and he will comfort you. Thank you very much for listening.
Thank you very much, Ford, for sharing that very moving testimony. It's hard to come up and compose yourself after just what he shared and what has been on his heart. But isn't it amazing that God is a faithful God? And no matter what we are going through or what we experience, we can trust completely on him. And our next song fits very, very well. We're just going to do a wee melody. It's Faithful God, and it goes into Jesus Be the Center. And that is our prayer tonight. If you don't know him, he is my God, he is Ford's God, and he has kept many of us in this church through difficult times, and he is the one to turn to, especially when you know him. The third line of this I love, Shalom, my peace. What a lovely thought. If you're troubled tonight and you have no peace, God is your peace. I'll get you to stand and sing.
I worship you.
Many thanks to Hartford, one in the long line of Ford. Johnny Cash sang a song, a boy named Sue, so at least it wasn't Sue, isn't that right, Hartford? Thank you so much for sharing that testament. I know it will have meant a lot to many people here who have lost loved ones over the past while, and I know that you found it difficult, as is expected and is normal, having lost loved ones. So thank you so much. If you've got a Bible, then I'm going to invite you to turn with me to one further portion of Scripture, and it is in Psalm number 103. Psalm number 103. Right around the world today, there are people, and they're in a situation that they would long to be free from. My mind instantly thinks to those people in Mariupol and in Ukraine and certain areas in that particular land where people are in such a situation. No food, no water, bodies still lying strewn on the streets, mass graves. And I'm sure they're in a situation, as we'd all agree, that is not their choice. There are many people right around the world in not maybe those kind of situations, but something similar. Just love to be free. We could take that to the personal. There are many young people who'd love to be free from the bullying that they experience in school and from social media. Many people who are addicted to substances and other things would love to be free. There are hearts crying all over the world, from one voice or another, from one reason or another, to be free. To be free from this. Free from the shame of their past. Free from the anxiety of the present. Or free from the circumstances in which they find themselves. Free. That's a kind of like the word that we're looking at for briefly tonight. This word redemption. To be free. To be let loose, to be loosened, to be brought out of and brought into, to be brought away from and brought onto. Free. There might be someone listening online or in the church, and you want to be free. You're maybe identified with Ford here, who said that he was a wolf in sheep's clothing, and all the while he thought he was just a bad Christian, and but he didn't realize he was heading another direction, further and further away from God. And you hate yourself for the very fact that you let the Lord down. You want to be an out-and-out true blue believer, but there's these things like the gremlins of the enemy pulling you back. You want to be free. Redemption's your subject. I'm not going to preach a hugely long sermon tonight. I'm going to give you four Greek words, but I want to read to you from Psalm number 103 in the first few verses, just to tie up what has been said and what the gospel offers to you tonight. Psalm 103, and we'll read the first few verses. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, and who redeemeth thy life from destruction, and who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Heavenly Father, tonight as we come before your word, we thank you that it is, as already been said from this pulpit, it is the living word of the living God. You have something to say to us. You want to communicate to us. We're not just coming here out of fashion or out of ritual. We're here tonight, Lord, because you communicate to us. You want to speak to us. You have already spoken to us. You want, Lord, to make your will known in our lives. You want, Lord, your spirit to be very much at work in this meeting. And so whether folk are at home or in this gathering, whether those who will be listening online or on the DVD or some recording later on, we pray that that same Spirit that's with us tonight will minister to every heart. We love you tonight, Lord. We thank you for the great plan of redemption. We ask, Lord, that you'll help us to understand what you really want to communicate to us tonight. In Christ's name, amen. What does it mean when the Bible says that God redeems? When I was a boy at school, we were always encouraged to collect these green stamps, and you lick these green stamps and you put them in a little book. I'm sure many of you remember it, and your tongue stuck to the roof of your mouth after you licked all these green stamps. And you collected these green stamps for months and months on end, and then after having collected them for months and months on end, some of you young people, you'll not know anything about this. But us older people will remember this. And the time you, for months and months, you saved these old green stamps, and then you went somewhere and you traded them in for something that didn't last 2 weeks. Not it. That was one of the first meanings that I thought redemption meant, to trade. To trade. And then I discovered that it's another meaning. One of my sons, I don't want to embarrass him tonight, but one of my sons decided that he was going to get himself a Great Dane. Biggest mistake, one of the biggest mistakes he ever made. It's like bringing a calf into the house. The one thing about this Great Dane, it had to come and stay in our house because he was living with us at the time. The only thing about this Great Dane, it had a mind of its own, which obviously was absent in his head. Because whenever he went to get out, he only went to get out through the gate and off he'd go, and he didn't know where he was running to, he didn't know who he was running from, he didn't know how he was going to get back. And one day we had to always keep the gates closed, locked. Because as sure as anything, if he got through the gate, you wouldn't see him from dust. And those big long legs of those Great Danes, I tell you, there's no chance whatsoever that you'll catch up with him. Well, he got out. We didn't want him. Now, we're not dog haters, but I wouldn't say that we're dog lovers either. We just don't have a dog. We used to try and have dogs, but they got poisoned, and therefore we didn't want our hearts broken anymore, so we got no more dogs. Now we've been landed with a kit or a cat, and the sooner it goes home, the better too. Anyway, about the dog, he got out. Couldn't find him anywhere. Boy, we were heartbroken, not because we were missing him, but because we knew our son would be heartbroken. And we searched up and down and up and down the road, the shore road, everywhere we could go to try and find this dog. But he was out of sight, and you couldn't find him anywhere. Got a phone call the next day. Why don't you try the pound in Carrick? So I phoned the pound in Carrick, and sure enough, a red Great Dane had been delivered to them by the police the night before. I'm glad that my name wasn't on the dog tag. I had to pay £25 for a dog I didn't want. And the only thing that he got was a cough and disease that we thought was going to kill him. That's another word for redeem, to buy back. To purchase again, to bring into your possession. The Hebrew word used in Job and also here in Psalm 103 is the word, Hebrew word, ga'al, G-A-apostrophe-A-L, ga'al. You'll find it also in Job, and it's goel. And that's the same word that's used in Ruth and Boaz, goel. And it's known as a kinsman redeemer, a redeemer. Someone who buys you back or brings you back, delivers you from whatever situation or circumstance you find yourself in. When we get to the New Testament, there are four words that are used, which I'm going to give to you and just very briefly explain them to you, and then you'll have an idea on part number 9 of our great gospel words, redemption. No, there are many different versions of redemption. Redemption, redeemer, redeeming, redemptive, all come from that one word. There are four Greek words that I'm going to give to you. And the first word is found in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9, if you'll turn with me, please. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9. And we'll read that verse. 5 and verse 9, it says, "And they sung a new song." Boy, I want to tell you, whenever we get to glory, we're going to be singing about redeemed, how I love to proclaim. I am redeemed, oh praise the Lord, my sin, soul from sin set free. They sung a new song. Revelation 5 and 9. "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." The Greek word there is agarozo, A-G-A-R-O-Z-O, A-G-A-R-O-Z-O, agarozo. It brings us to the marketplace of slaves, where slaves were in old biblical times, in the New Testament times, were brought there and they were cruelly treated. The idea here in Revelation 5 is to bring us to the situation, to the scene of the slave market. Something that I learned over this past week as I read about this, and is this, that not only did they trade them and sell them, but they used to try them to see where what they were worth. They would have slapped them to see if there was any sense of restraint about them. They would have starved them to see how efficient they were on food. They would have stripped them to see if there was any sense of pride left within them. And they would also have strapped them to heavy objects to see what their strength was. They were cruelly and they were harshly treated. Revelation 5, 9 brings us to the scene of the slave market. And what I want to do with you just one moment is for you to remember that Christ Jesus came into this world and he took upon himself the form of a slave. And isn't it interesting that they slapped him? Isn't it interesting that they stripped him naked? Isn't it interesting that he was very often hungry and thirsted? One of the things that they would have done with slaves was that they would have derobed them, as I said earlier, to test their humility, to see if there was any pride left within their hearts. They stripped the very robes of Jesus before they crucified him. But he did that deliberately for us. He came into the slave market, became a slave himself. He was derobed and he took upon himself the human form of man that we might have the robes of righteousness. Agorazo, the slave market. He did that to redeem you and me. Agorazo. The second word that I'm going to give to you is this. Not only agorazo, but the word apo agorazo, or ex apparazzo. Ex apparazzo. He paid the full price. The full price for our sin. Not only did he come into the slave market to identify with us, but he came to the slave market to deliver us from the slave market of sin, to bring us out. Romans 7 and verse 14 says that we were sold in sin. We were dominated, manipulated, and we were excruciated with sin. We were jumping to sin's tune. It says in Isaiah 52 and Isaiah 52 and verse 3 and Isaiah 50 verse 1 that we were sold for sin. Sold. under the domination and manipulation of sin. Luther says this: what was our debt? We weren't giving God what was his due. We weren't worshipping him as we ought. We weren't serving him as we ought. We weren't living for him as we ought. We were slaves to sin, sold in sin. And you mightn't have been an addict, or you mightn't be an addict, but there might be some other old sin that manipulates and dominates your life. The sin of addiction, of alcohol or whatever form it might have shaped in your life. But Christ came not only to identify with us, but he also came to deliver us. Go to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3 and the verse 13. Galatians chapter 3 and the verse 13. And we read there, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Sin had become our taskmaster. Ex agorazo, he brings us back from the slave market of sin. He brings us back to himself. He puts his spirit within us, breaks those old power of cancel sin, as the hymn writer said, Charles Wesley says, and he sets the captives free. Isn't it wonderful to be free tonight? Isn't it wonderful to be set free from the old habits of life? Those old habits that were formed within us in our unsaved days, and they began to mature and deepen and strengthen their hold upon us and grab hold of us firmer and firmer every day. But he, the Lord Jesus Christ, came to the slave market of sin. He broke the chains and he sets the captives free. Free. Ex agorazo. We were sold in sin, but he paid the ransom that we might be set free. The third word that I want to bring to you is lutrosos. I can't get my tongue around these words. You'll find the word in Hebrews 9 and 12. Lutrosos. Hebrews 9 and 12, and it says this: neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal lutrosos, redemption for us. Lutrosis means to pay the full payment for sin, for slaves, that they may be released and set free. Sin demands a high price, but there's more to it. For us to be free from that sin, we must present a perfect sacrifice. And every one of us were slaves to sin. Therefore, we needed another sacrifice. We needed someone else to pay the price. But a conversation took place in eternity, from which we get this wonderful little verse found in Peter and the Revelation. He was a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The bride of Christ was going to be sold in sin. But God, Christ, made himself available and gave his life and paid the full penalty and the full ransom price. He went down into the marketplace and he paid the full price for our sin. He saw your life and mine. He saw our future and its destruction. He knew our inability and our poverty. And he paid the lutrosos, the full price. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, agreeing in eternity before you and I were ever born, to pay the full price for you and me. There might be some in this church or listening online, and you would probably feel that you're worth nothing. And in reality, God saw, Christ saw, the Holy Spirit saw your worth and was willing to pay the price for you to be lutrosos, redeemed and set free. Slaves had no rights. Slaves had no possessions. They were sold at will. And one person would take them and use them and then resell them again until they were worth less. And Christ gave the very best that he had that we might be set free. So not only has he identified with us in the slave market, not only has he gone to that slave market and broke the chains and set us free, he has paid the full ransom price for our sins. Here's the fourth word. Now, I have to tell you, we could spend a whole month speaking on this one subject. I'm just giving you the four words that we could easily preach a sermon on each word. Do your own study. It'll bless your soul. Apo lotosos. To return to its original state. Young Carter read from Ephesians 1 and 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood. Apo lotosos. Not only does he go and identify with us in the slave market of sin, not only does he come and deliver us from that slave market of sin, not only does he pay the full ransom, redeeming price for our freedom, but he also then restores us, returns us to our original status, the children of God. Peter said, once we were not a people, but now are we the people of God. Do you know, I've come to love these great gospel words ever since I started to read up into them and study them. There's a great impact upon your heart when you begin to realize the full purpose and plan of God's redeeming grace, where he wanted to bring us to and where he brought us from. I'm not going to embarrass you, but I'm assuming, and I know that that's a dangerous thing to do, that if you haven't read through the scriptures completely from Genesis to Revelation, you've attempted. Have you? Have you? Now, I don't want you to give me a show of hands, but you can do a wee mental tick box. Have you read through the scriptures once in your life? Have you ever read through the scriptures more than once in your life? If you've read through the scriptures at least once in your life, you're going to know that there's some passages, and they're very repetitive, aren't there? Like 1 Chronicles. And so-and-so begot so-and-so, and before you get too long, you forgot what so-and-so had begot who, what, where. And when you get then to the genealogy of Christ, there's an amazing thing. Matthew and Luke. And it's interesting, and I would want you to turn with me to Luke's Gospel, chapter 3, and the verse 38. Because The plan of God was just not that you might be saved and then to live as you like. Or not just that you might be comfortable in your life. Or not just that you may be free from the worry of where you'll be in eternity in your life. God had a fuller, more expansive, more luxurious plan for your life, that you be restored and returned to your original state and become the sons of God, as Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 3, and he also speaks about it in Galatians chapter 4. You see, I've made this point so many times. There are so many people, and the only reason they get saved is so they won't go to hell. And I understand that, and that's a very real truth. But that's not all the gospel's about. The gospel's about restoring you back into relationship to be reconciled with God for that relationship that once existed in the garden. In fact, even greater will exist after salvation. Even greater. But I was reading through Matthew. If you read through Matthew, you'll discover that Matthew, in the genealogy of Christ, he works backward from Christ and his genealogy. But look at what Luke does in Luke chapter 3 and verse 38. Luke chapter 3 and verse 38. He works backward from the Lord Jesus. Matthew works forward in the genealogy to Christ, but Luke works backward. He starts with Christ, and look where he finishes in Luke chapter 3 and verse 38. We'll read verse 37 just to bring you into the context, which was the son of Methuselah, which was the son of Enoch, which was the son of Jared, which was the son of Malalil, which was the son of Canaan, which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. And in Galatians chapter 4, through the redeeming work of Christ, we identify ourselves, those of us who have been saved from the slave market of sin, who this great commander in chief, the Lord Jesus, went and did battle against the enemies of man's soul and overcame death and hell itself, and has paid the full ransom price for your sins and mine, and to restore us back into the fold and the family of God, and we become known as sons and daughters of Christ. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't it wonderful? I am redeemed. Oh, praise the Lord. My soul from sin set free. Can I ask you, are you redeemed? Have you been redeemed? Have you recognized that sin leaves us, strips us bare, and causes us to be denied the very life of God? Left us in total depravity, in a state worse than death. Have you realized that Christ came and identified with you to deliver you from the slave market of sin? Have you recognized that your salvation didn't come cheap or free, but it cost the very life of Christ, so that you and I could become the sons and daughters of a King? Let's bow together in prayer. Let's pray. Let's, just as Stephen and Valerie will make their way up and we're ready to sing that great old gospel standard, Redeemed, How I Love to Proclaim It. Are you still in bondage to some old addiction? Are you still at odds and at a loss to understand the full measure of your deliverance? Or are you still ensnared with some old harbinger of Satan and sin? Are you free? Not to live for yourself, but to live for Him. Father, we would ask tonight that as we bring this meeting to a conclusion, as we've heard, Lord, testimony of God's keeping grace, as we've pursued and perused, Lord, as we've considered these great gospel words, tonight we pray that not one in this gathering would leave unsure, unaware, under some burden of sin, but may they truly lay hold of the one who breaks the chains of cancelled sin and sets the prisoner free. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. We'll stand and sing together, please. And this is a great old gospel standard. Let's sing it together. Thank you. Different now. We're going to close with one verse of Amazing Grace. We'll not need any music, and then I'm just going to say amen to that. All right. Amazing Grace.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like
Thank you that it is amazing grace from start to finish. Nothing that we have done, we have nothing to boast in, nothing to brag about, nothing to barter with. It's God's amazing grace. And we just say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. We ask, Lord, that many will enter into that great covenant of grace even this evening. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God our Heavenly Father and help and comfort of the Holy Spirit be our portion this incoming week. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you as you travel home.